On the 27th of October 2006, aged just 34, a young author and budding film producer called Luke Bittman tragically died. In his relatively short life, Luke had also managed to travel extensively, indulge his passion for music, and touch the lives of all around him. And in his memory, his family set up a bursary fund for fledgling novel writers. It involved a cash award for a writer and a publishing contract from Legend Press. The first winner of this was our first guest this afternoon, Andrew Blackman, an Oxford graduate, whose work took him to New York before returning here to the UK to pursue a career in fiction writing. Andrew, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming in. I know it's been a great week for you because your first book, On the Holloway Road, was had its launch last week, so yeah. It must all be happening for you at the moment. But let's go back to the beginning. When did you know that you wanted to be a writer?
I knew it from a very early age. I always enjoyed writing when I was a child, but I grew up with these ideas of, you know, what was practical to do and what wasn't and what was sensible. And so I didn't really commit to it full time. I took all kind of different jobs as a banker and then a journalist, and I was kind of finally working my way back to it. And it was when I was working at the Wall Street Journal, I started getting up at like 5 and 6 in the morning to do a bit of my own writing before work. And that was sort of when I knew that that was really what I wanted to do, because I did that every morning. And after a year or so, I had a novel, and it wasn't a very good novel. It was the first attempt, but that was how I first, you know, that was when I really committed to it. So that was about sort of 5 years ago now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. 6 years working in America. You actually studied journalism in America after studying here at Oxford. Yeah. So talk us through how you got involved. Working for the Wall Street Journal is, for a lot of people, would be the pinnacle of their career as a journalist. This is where they would strive to get to, but this was sort of your starting block.
Yeah, I was lucky because I did a master's degree in journalism, and from there, you know, I applied for, it was just a sort of entry level position at the Wall Street Journal, but they were good because they let you do some reporting, and then if you did some good stories, then they let you do more. And so I ended up being a reporter there. It sort of got in at the ground floor.
And what sort of areas were you working in, or at that level were you pretty much thrown into all departments?
It was mostly financial stuff, you know, because it was Wall Street Journal. So I was dishing out like financial advice to people on what what mutual funds to buy, that sort of thing. But I also did a lot of different stories. Like I wrote about the differences between men and women in health and how they're treated in healthcare and that sort of thing. And a bunch of different stories, but it was mostly on the financial side.
What was life like in New York?
It was fantastic, especially when I first went, because I was I was 22 years old, and I was working on Wall Street, and I was, you know, earning a good salary, and I was going out every night, and
it was sounding good so far.
It was a fun time. And that was the year 2000, and then 2001, you know, September 11th changed a lot of things. And it wasn't so fun for a while, but that's my best memory of New York, is that sort of early time when I first went there and I was single, and it's a very good place to be.
As a Brit there for 9/11, what was the atmosphere like? It must have been very worrying knowing that you were so far away from home and out of reach of friends and family.
It was, especially, I think it was more worrying for people back here because they didn't know. I mean, they knew I was working downtown, sort of close to the towers, and all they saw was the whole thing in, you know, clouds of dust, so they didn't really know. And you couldn't get through on the phones or anything. So.
And you were actually at the office?
Yeah, I was at the office, like, you know, just a few blocks away. So it was, for me, it wasn't too bad because I actually knew I would be okay. I wasn't actually in the towers. I was down the road, and, you know, we had to wait for a while and then we could go home. But, yeah, for people back home, it was bad that I couldn't let people know, really, because, you know, everything was just jammed and nothing worked. And I think it was a bad time for my parents, especially.
Very much, as it was for many people stuck sort of on either side of the Atlantic then. Yeah. At this stage, sort of the first couple of years working on the paper, did you think that journalism was going to be what you did? You said that you had enjoyed writing and you had sort of harboured this ambition for a while, but did you think that maybe you were going to actually follow a different route?
Yeah, I thought that journalism was it because it was writing. It was, it was writing stories. It was what I wanted to do. It was only gradually I sort of began to just yearn to do something else. I wanted to tell my own stories. And journalism in America is a bit different from here in that they always, like, there's a manual of Wall Street Journal style. It's this like 500 page document that they slam on your desk when you first arrive, and it tells you how to write and how to structure a story, and, you know, what words to use, what words not to use. It's a bit restrictive, I found it. And I found that all the stories sounded a bit the same after a while. It was like a formula. And once you know the formula, you're just kind of getting new facts to plug in. So I sort of began to want to do something different after that.
So after a while of juggling the two and getting up ridiculously early to work on your own projects before heading off into the offices, when did you decide that you would take the plunge? Because you're saying, you know, you're a young man living in New York on a good salary, working for the Wall Street Journal, and you were just about to give all this up, walk away from it to, well, try something different.
Different, yeah.
Was that scary?
It was scary, but I'd already had the experience of doing the same thing with Citigroup. When I was a banker, I'd given all that up to become a journalist, so I was sort of good at giving stuff up. And also because because I'd been to Oxford and I had a sort of privileged start in life, I think that gives you a bit of a luxury to be able to, you know, to pick and choose a little bit. And I sort of always, you've got that on your CV. I had Wall Street Journal on my CV, and, you know, my editor said I could come back if I wanted to, so it wasn't like an irrevocable decision. I wasn't burning any bridges. I always had other options, and I've actually done some freelance work for them since then. So,
and was it a natural progression to move back to the UK then, or were you tempted to stay in America?
Yeah, it was sort of, I think it was time for me to move back. I met my girlfriend by then, and she wanted to move on as well. So, so we came back here, and it was, I mean, also I didn't have work papers over there. I had work papers through my job. So once I left the job, I couldn't stay. So.